Thank you for that song. Oh, a wonderful song this morning for Tetra God on this thing. And this morning, so important. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 36. Got one verse to read, and then we'll go farther. I was reading the other day, I think about Monday, just casually reading. Casually reading, yeah. Sometimes I just open up the Bible, and wherever it falls open, I start to read. Can't go wrong, because all of it's God's Word. And I'm convinced that when you do that, when I do it, He lets me open it up to the place He wants to show me something. And as my eyes focused on this one verse, the Lord says that'll be the message for Sunday. So let's read that one verse and see what the Lord would teach us this morning from His precious Word. He has so much to teach us. We have so much to learn, that's for sure. In the 36th chapter of the book of Isaiah, we will read in verse 4. And Rabshakeh said unto them, say ye now to Hezekiah, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thy trust? The king of Assyria, great king, he had conquered much of the world. And now he is going to besiege Jerusalem. He already has. Jerusalem, that city, King Hezekiah is a king. And Hezekiah knew that he had to put his trust in God. He had to put his confidence in God. But that's going to be hard for him to do, just like it is for you and I many times, because so much has happened and we haven't put our confidence in the Lord. Let's go a little backdrop on this. It wasn't that long ago until this mighty, indeed, king of Assyria had sent his general and sent his troops, and they had occupied and they had besieged Samaria, the 10 northern tribes, and taken them prisoners. They had conquered their land. Then, a short while later, they had taken the cities of Judah, the southern two tribes, and they had conquered most of them. So Hezekiah did not put his trust and confidence in the Lord in that day. It starts so simple in their life where the devil wants to get a little toehold. He wants you in an area of your life where you lose confidence or you don't have the confidence in the Lord that you need. Such was the case with Hezekiah. He had seen that some of his cities were taken, and sometimes God allows things like this. Would God allow the enemy, the great king of Assyria, so-called, he's Seth a great king, to come in and conquer the land of God's people? Not only did God allow it, but he permitted it. He orchestrated it. Why? We'll see a little bit later on. Sometimes God allows this because the people of God had not been wholly surrendered unto him. They've been trusting in their own self. You can go today and you can probably, no doubt, buy a lot of books in the bookstore, I wouldn't advise it, to read about self-confidence. Boy, we need self-confidence. That's contrary to what God teaches us. The self-confidence will come only when we have full confidence in the Lord our God. Then he gives us self-confidence that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. If it's not through Christ, it's not going to amount to very much anyway. And you can no doubt pay large sums of money and go to classes all across your country, and they will teach you about self-confidence. Unfortunately, I've never been to any, but I bet you anything they don't teach about putting your confidence in God, and he'll give you self-confidence, because the world doesn't do that. And now this king of Assyria, he had all the self-confidence in the world that he needed because he had besieged all these cities. And now Hezekiah, since the king of Assyria had conquered many of his cities, he sent a message to him, and he said, I'm going to give you gold and silver that you don't come and besiege Jerusalem, that you let my people go. Starting to pay the devil, if you will. A lot of people do that. And he stripped out the silver and gold from the house of God, of all places, to pay the king of Assyria. You give the devil a little inch and he'll take a mile. That did not suffice the king of Assyria. And now he has sent his massive army and he wants Jerusalem. He's not content with the 10 northern tribes. He is not content with the other cities of Judah. He wants Jerusalem, that great city of God, because Satan knows if he can get to the heart of something, he's conquered. However, God's still on the scene. So now the king of Assyria has sent his general, and he has made this proclamation. Remember, the city of Jerusalem is walled. It's a walled city. It's a protected city. And King Hezekiah had enough foresight to know that there's only one water supply within the city, and it's really without the city wall. So remember the story where he had two groups of men start digging a tunnel in solid rock for a long spell to funnel that spring of Gihon and underneath the wall and down to the lower part so they would have water, because you besiege a city and you don't give them water, they're going to perish. But they had water now inside. And the king of Assyria has sent his servant, and he is crying out in the Jews' language, telling them, what do you put your confidence in? I have conquered most of the inhabited area all around. And do you think that your God is going to give you the protection you need? And he starts blaspheming God. And he starts saying, your God is a no God. He didn't protect the 10 northern tribes. He didn't protect these others. Look at what the king of Assyria has done. Trying to tear down the confidence of God. You know what those guards on the city wall said? They said, cry out in the Assyrian language. We know that because we don't want our people inside the wall to hear the great Assyrian king's threats. And he said, no, I want everybody to hear it. So he cried out in the Jews' language what he was going to do. They're trying to tear down their confidence. I want to look at five things this morning about the confidence we have in our God. Now, they had it, but they had to come God's way to achieve it. You see, it's not self-confidence. And if you look at what already happened, there was not going to be much confidence there. God had not protected the 10 northern tribes. We're going to see why he did. He did not protect the other cities in Judah, and we will see why he did not. But now, the great city of Jerusalem, and the enemy is crying out, just like he is to you, just like he is to me. The world's against you. The devil's against you. Majority of people, even in America, are against the Christians. Just what are you going to put your confidence in? You're outnumbered. You're outpowered by the world standards. So look at this thought. A confidence that we can trust in. There's only one. Confidence is in the Lord. Let's look at that thought this morning as we skim and go through the Word of God. First of all, our confidence is challenged. Every day of our life, our confidence in God is challenged. Look at the way of society is going. Downward, downward, downward. Don't have time to name all the sins America's into, but you can see they're trying to take Christ out of everything. They're trying to kill babies even after birth. And what are we going to do as a people, as a nation, when they come after us? Remember now, the king of Assyria has sent his general and thousands of troops, and they're all around the city walls of Jerusalem. And they're up on the mountain, no doubt, of looking down on the city walls, and they're crying out, what confidence are you going to have? Who are you going to trust? We've got you outnumbered. Just a matter of days, weeks, and months, and before you're going to run out of food, and we're outnumbering you, and those city walls we're going to scale, what are you going to trust? Over and over and over. So the enemy is crying out, look at the world today, and look how it's going. But God's still in heaven. We're still his people. And we're going to see how they did and the way God has purpose for you and I to have confidence in him. How we can have all our confidence in him and we have needed nothing. He's told us so many times in the Word of God, put your trust in me. Trust me. Lean not into thine own understanding, but in all thy ways. Just lean unto me, and I will direct your paths. They're in the side of the city wall. They have nowhere to go. They can't escape. Thank God the water has been piped within, and Jesus is a water of salvation. He's a bread of life, and Him is life, and we're in Christ Jesus, and we have need of nothing else. Let the world do what they will. And Hezekiah is going to learn that. He hasn't learned it already, because when he's seen the 10 northern tribes had to surrender, and he saw the other cities and Jesus surrendered, he has got no confidence, because he went and stripped out the gold, the silver, out of the house of God. You start thinking things out of the house of God and away from God that owns the place of God, and you're in a heap of trouble. And Hezekiah and the people in Jerusalem were, by their own standards, in a heap of trouble. But let's look farther. Not only our confidence is challenged, that we just read, but look at 2 Kings chapter 18. Corresponding scriptures, one story just in different places of the Bible. Look at 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 3 through 7. Our confidence is contingent upon, or the condition of our confidence is going to be putting our trust in God. Look at the text. You see, you can't have confidence in God if you don't meet the conditions. If you don't have the ability within yourself to depend upon Him. What is this? Well, it starts in verse 18, or chapter 18, 2 Kings, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hosea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. God put him on the throne. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Eb, and the daughter of Zechariah. But here's the key. Remember, if you're going to have confidence in God, there is a condition for it. There is a pre-arrangement in your life that you have. You can't just all of a sudden go through life without Him. Just all of a sudden, the enemy is surrounding you, and there's nowhere, oh God, I'll start putting my confidence. Oh, there's a starting place, all right. But the starting place was when he first became king, when God gave him this authority. Verse 3 says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. See, the confidence he was going to be able to have was contingent upon, or the condition for it was the fact that he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. And I already told you one time later on he didn't. Thank God we have a merciful God. We have a God that forgives. And none of us, including Hezekiah, certainly could not say, I have lived a perfect life. I've done all. No, but his heart was right. When you read the story about he did that which was right, his heart wanted to. Now, the flesh got in the way, and when he saw the great king of Assyria accomplishing all these deeds, and he saw the mighty army, yeah, he got weak in faith. But his heart, God looks at the heart. And the Bible says, the contingency or the ability to trust him was there. And the Bible says in verse 5, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him. And he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. I'm not going to serve the world. I'm going to serve God. I already determined in my heart. I've made that a condition. And now remember, we're seeing how to have confidence in our God. And the precondition is that we give our heart to God. There's no confidence to be had. The world's out there and they hate us, and the flesh is your enemy, and there's nowhere else. And the story, remember, revolves around the statement, what are you putting your trust in? You're surrounded. There's nowhere to go. It's getting worse. Why are you putting your trust in? And we just saw that he is putting his trust into the Lord before the trouble came. The right thing to do in their lives right now, as peaceful as it is, it could be worse, could it not? And we ought to thank God that things are as well with us as they are. We could preach messages and we could spend the rest of the morning telling how bad it was, but thank God it's as well as it is. Because we have freedom, we're able to worship our God. Nobody tells us we can't. The world's got us surrounded. They're ready to engulf us, if you will, but they haven't yet, nor will they, if we learn to put our confidence in the Lord. Now, we're going to look next at this confidence must be concentrated. He'd already trusted the Lord his God. He put his faith in him. He did that which was right. He didn't lean into his own understanding, but in all his ways he is acknowledging God. Well, let's turn your Bibles back to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 37 and verse 1. His confidence that was concentrated. And even if I had never read this story, and I just started to think about what else I know from the Bible and other places, I could already glean, and I could already make an assertion, and I could have the full of confidence I know where it must start. But let's read the story. Because God's always the same. In Isaiah chapter 37, verse 1, our confidence must be concentrated. Where be concentrated at? Listen to Scripture. And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, he heard the statements from the general, Rabshakeh, and they were delivered to him. He rent his clothes, and he knew he was in trouble again. But the way he's going to have his confidence, he realizes it's got to be concentrated around three things. Look at what he does. He rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. Wouldn't you know it? Anything that's worth anything will be centered around the house of God. Everywhere I look for the last 5 or 10 years, everywhere I study, seems like this thought just comes up again. The house of God. If it's not centered around, it's not worth anything. Can't have any confidence in the God of the house if you don't have your life centered around his house. You can't miss this. It's so simple. But not only the house of the Lord, it had to be through the man of God. See, God had sent prophets, verse 2. And he sent Elkanah, who was over the household, and Sheba, the scribe, and the elders of the priests covered with sackcloth unto Isaiah, the prophet of the son of Amos. We got to hear from God. We're going to the right place to hear from God. We're going to the house of God. But now we're going to the man of God that talks to God. And God will tell him what we need to do because we got our clothes rent. We're in sackcloth and we're humbled. And we have come as low as we can. And Hezekiah remembers, after all, I did concentrate my life around the things of God. And now to verify it and to prove, I'm going to go to the house of God, to the man of God, and see what I need to do. But there's something else he needs to do. Look at verses 14 and 15. He needs to pray. Oh, it's good to come to the house of God. It's good to hear the message from the man of God through the word of God. We have to concentrate our life and we have to pray. Look what happens in verse 14 and verse 15 of this same chapter. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. Not only had they proclaimed from the top of the mountains what we're going to do to Jerusalem like we've done to the rest of the world, but they sent it in letter form. Surrender. And there's no other option for you. And if you don't surrender, we're going to ask you a question. Who are you going to put confidence in to deliver you? He's reading the letter. But he's reading it in the right place. And he went to the right person, the man of God. And now Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. I'm not going to open my Bible. I'm going to spread out. Here's your letter, and here's your altar. And you know what it says. And I'm completely surrounded. I can't put my confidence in the king of Egypt to help me. My generals and my people were all inside this wall. The northern tribes can't help us. The city of Judah can't help us. We've come to the only place we can come. And God will bring you, and he'll bring me to that point. Better to do it ahead of time, that there's nowhere else to go except to the house of God, to the man of God, to the word of God. And there we put our confidence. Here it is, Lord. You know what it says. Then the Bible says, he went up to the house and spread before, and Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, and I won't read the prayer. Finally, there's something in his life that, oh, he had stripped away the silver and the gold and give it to him before, and that didn't help. You can give the devil all he demands, and it doesn't help, because he's going to be back wanting more and more and more. Self-confidence. Learn all you want about yourself, your inability to do anything. And the bottom line is, there is no confidence except that confidence comes from the Lord through the man of God, through the word of God, through the house of God, and prayer. And there our confidence. So we've seen our confidence was challenged. Our confidence was contingent upon the fact that we had given our life to him. And our confidence must be concentrated. We know where it's concentrated at. But I want to go back and look at something on the other side. The thought keeps lingering in their mind about, okay, the northern tribes were God's people too, and the other cities around Jerusalem were God's people too. Let's look at the fact that the confidence of the covenant keeping from ourselves must be accepted before God, or he will not hear a prayer. In 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 9, 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 9. Let's go back and look at why those 10 northern tribes failed. Why did they not have any confidence in their God? We already saw it had to be contingent upon the fact that you give your life to him, and those didn't. Verse 9, chapter 18, 2 Kings. And it came to pass in the fourth year of King Hezekiah, which was the seventh year of Hosea, son of Ella, the son of king of Israel, that Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria and besieged it. And at the end of 3 years, they took it, even the sixth year of King Hezekiah. That is the ninth year of Hosea, king of Israel. Samaria was taken. And the king of Assyria carried away Israel into Assyria and put them in Hala and in harbor by the river of Goshen, and in the city of the Medes. Why did they do this? Why did God permit this? Because they could have no confidence in God, because their lives had not been concentrated to the Lord. Look at verse 12. This happened because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed the covenant and all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded, and would not hear them nor do them. And because they would not put their confidence in God, nor could they. Oh, I'm sure at the ninth hour, when the king came out and said that you're taken, they probably cried out to God then, but we've already seen. And now, if they had obeyed the Lord God and done the commandments of the Lord God and concentrated themselves as Hezekiah did, then when he goes to the altar of God and the house of God to the man of God, he could have confidence in God. So it proves to us once again, the only confidence we can have is in God, because the enemy is there. And the only way we can have this confidence is to give ourselves wholly concentrated to the Lord, not half-heartedly. It's so simple. Can't you see it this morning? That our lives must be in tune with God. We must have our sins forgiven. We must not do despite God's word, nor trample upon the precious word of God. because the world's out there, we're surrounded by the evil, and it's getting worse. But we can have confidence. Hezekiah did. We've seen how, and we've seen how not to have confidence. And it shouldn't be a hard choice for any of us. But lastly, this confidence will be confirmed, and it will be completed. Look at the text in Isaiah again, chapter 37, verse 33. Isaiah 37, let's read verse 31. Now, he had done all he needed to do. And the Bible tells us very clearly why God's going to do this. Because the enemy has brought a reproach on God. They are saying, your God can't do it. We've conquered. Your God is no more important than the rest. And when the enemy starts bringing dishonor and bringing disgrace and reproach on the Lord God, and we give ourselves to God, then God will take action. This confidence we have in him, because we have put our trust in him, will be developed. It will be confirmed and complete. Isaiah 37, verse 31. And the remnant that escapes of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. One of my favorite verses. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shields, nor cast a bank against it. But wait a minute. They're already out there by the thousands and ten thousands. But God says they won't shoot an arrow, and they won't come against it. Why? Simple. They have put their confidence in the Lord their God. Are they within the city walls large enough, strong enough to make the enemy flee? Not a chance. Nor do they need to. They have their confidence in the Lord their God. And this is God's reaction. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into the city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. Isn't that amazing? When you and I can't do it, we come to the one that can. How will God do it? Any way he wants to. He can send an angel. He can speak the word. But we can have confidence in anything in the Lord our God. And we've seen how to do it. And we've seen how we'd better not do it. And now there's the confirmation and the climax of how God did it. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelled at Nineveh. The Lord our God can conquer and defeat all the enemy, provided we're able to put our confidence in him. We know how to do it, and we know how we better not do it. Would you stand? Not half-heartedly. No. Hezekiah tried that, the same Hezekiah. As half-hearted, wouldn't do it. Because when he tried it half-heartedly, he ended up stripping the gold and silver out of the house of God and giving to the enemy. But now they're out there, there's nowhere else, and the enemy made that proclamation. Okay, I've done all these things, and I've conquered all this land. Who are you going to put your confidence in, your heads about? Lord Jesus, we come to your throne this morning, so thankful we can come. And we realize, Father, that we have family members that's lost, and we can't save them. And no one else can save them except you. Help us put all our confidence in you. for salvation. And God, we realize America and the rest of the world is getting deeper in sin. Just like the 10 northern tribes, forsaking the commandments, not doing what you bid them do. So when the enemy came, they were conquered. God, sure we are this morning in your house, reading your word. And I pray, Heavenly Father God, that the same God that spared and protected the city of Jerusalem, the great city in Hezekiah, will protect us. God, you can do anything. You're all powerful. And the only thing lacking is our commitment to you, our concentration. And that's possible. And I pray, Heavenly Father, this morning it will be a time of soul seeking. The enemy's out there and we know it, but when it gets worse, individually and collectively in our nation, in our communities, let's not wait until then, Father. Let us now give our lives wholly to God as Hezekiah did. Yes, no doubt we'll slip and we'll falter. God, in the end, we can say, God, here I am and I'm putting my trust in you. And you said not one arrow will touch anything of my anointed. And you brought it to pass. You confirmed it. You completed it. We thank you, God, that you are that God. Now, help our hearts be tender and be pure this morning. And forgive our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Come play anything the Lord puts on your heart, if you will, musicians. Your heads are bound. Time for the altar. Remember what happens at the altar. Spread your life out before him. Say, God, you see yesterday, you see today, and you see tomorrow, just as if it's already there. And you know what I don't know, but what I do know I can give myself to you. You say, I've done that. Make sure you've done it in the right manner, wholly concentrated, wholly pure before God. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. That's all he wants. That's all he wants from Hezekiah. That's all he wants from you. He will do the rest. But you got to do your part. The altar is open. Would you come?